My name is Kazuko Umezu Stout, and Umezu is my maiden name. And I'm born in Yamagata Prefecture. It's about 300 miles north from Tokyo. And my father was a farmer, so I am a farmer's daughter. Anyway, I am past 15 years. I am International Marriage Society president, and we send to let me see, newsletter 4 times a year, and that we got about 480 member right now in 6 different countries.
Great. And could you tell me a bit about your life in Japan when you were young?
Okay. I was such a sickly child, so even though I born in farmer's daughter, but I never did anything outside. I just only thing mama used to say is, long as you go to school, that's all you have to do, nothing else. So I didn't learn to cook, I didn't learn to do nothing. So anyway, after I finished the school, I went to Zushi, it's the Kanagawa Prefecture, it's close to Tokyo. And that my father's introduced me as a school teacher, and that he wanted to have a young company because his wife was alone, no children. And so I went there, and I worked in Zushi City Bus Company in the office for a few years. And my girlfriend, Miss T, Tanaka-san, and become a good friend. And Tanaka-san was working in Army Ammunition Depot, the U.S. Army office. And she's the one introduced to my husband.
So, what kind of life did you have growing up? Was it fun,
Oh,
before?
yeah. Even though, during the war, it's tough, especially people living in the city. And like, they got a bomb and atomic bomb and all of that. But because they're living in the country, and we have grown all the food, so we didn't have no. At least I didn't have no hard time at all, because my father had a lot of land owner. That's what he was. And we had a, let me see, when my mother married my father, wedding day was the first time my mama saw dad. That they exchanged pictures before that, but anyway, wedding day. Anyway, and my father's parents was already still living in there, and grandparents' parents still lived there. It's a three couple lived in the same house. House is big enough, so they could, and my father's brothers and sisters, six of them living in there, and farmer boys, five are living in there, and besides me and my sisters. And so they're large, I think it's about 19 people. And my mother have to cook all of that, the meal for 3 times a day. And I was not quite smart kids, but I was a real athletic. And coming to PE or running or jumping, and I was number one every time. And every fall they have a family a picnic, and they got a mother and daughter. 100-yard dash and 1,700. We always win first place. And so I can't say I had a hard time at all in childhood. And I'm sure the subject is going to come up later on about the marrying, foreigner. But that it's a little bit different.
Well, why don't you start with you mentioned about how someone introduced you to your husband.
Yeah.
Why don't you start that story again?
Okay.
How you met him, and then how you came to the
Yeah,
United
okay.
States.
And Miss Tanaka-san, and she said, why don't we go to movie sometime? And I said, sure, it'd be fun. So when we went to movie, my husband was there. And it's the first time I saw. And we all three of them went to movies, so we're going to dinner sometimes. And I didn't think of nothing of it. And then, must be about 4 months went through. And then after then, we had another dinner date. And she didn't show up, and just my husband, Carl, did. And next day, when I saw Ms. Tanaka, and she said, "Did you have fun last?" And I said, "Yeah." And the way she said it, it's kind of funny sounded, you know. I said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "Who are you talking like?" She said, "Did he do anything?" I said, "What do you mean? Did nothing. No, naturally not. He didn't do nothing." Anyway, after that, we two of them started dating. We see at Ms. Tanaka. And let me see, it must be good 6 months. And he asked me about that, you know, getting married. He was 28. I was just 19, 20 years old. So, you know, 8, 9 years different between me and him. So anyway.
Just
yeah.
A second. I okay. Switch hands and... Try yeah. not to rub your pants too much.
Oh, you could hear them.
Yeah, I can't. Well, no, it's okay.
Okay.
If you, no, that's
yeah,
not
okay. Okay.
Okay. But go ahead. You were telling me yeah. that your husband was 28.
Yeah, 20. Yeah. So I told my husband, I said, if I'm going to marry you, I have to go home and get permission from my dad and the family. So, okay. So when I went home. And that my dad said, you know, we have to have a whole family, and besides an aunt and uncle and cousin and niece and all of that. I said, yeah, we realize that. So one day, he invited everybody, about 30 people. My mom cooked a beautiful dinner. And me and him sitting next to each other, and everybody, he thanked everybody to, you know, coming over. And he said, you know, I know her more than anybody in this room. I'm sorry. Okay. I got emotional. I do that every time. A lot of Inuit.
Okay?
I'm okay. I think I'm okay.
You're right, okay. Yeah.
Inuit. And so he told everybody, don't stop, just let it go. So I did.
Okay.
Anyway. Even my dad wasn't, if he didn't say it, what he said it. And I'm sure I had a hard time getting married in Fona because everybody going to stop him. So I should appreciate my dad. Yeah, I'm married 50 years, so it's not bad, huh? Yeah. I do that every time. I'm sorry. I ain't gonna do that on the stage.
Oh.
When I'm making a speech. I do it every time.
Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know if American people could understand this old Japanese custom. And mom and dad find a husband for you. Renjima Mary, so-called. In those days, back in the 1940s and 50s. Anyway, and you never even think about marrying foreigner. And a special enemy was enemy not too long ago, you know. So it's tough. Even though, you know, I grown up in nothing prejudice about the nobody. But it's tough. So anyway, my dad said, I know her more than anybody else. Just let her go. Don't say anything about it. So that's all it took. Just one word, that's all it took. Nobody said anything. I'm sure they say something, you know, behind them, you know, our back, but nobody did say anything. So I had, you know, everybody blessed and let me marry him. So I think it's pretty good.
So... So that pretty much covers my next question, which was about your family. Sorry, you're moving away from
us. Oh, it's okay.
So when you met his family, well, actually, maybe one thing too is, I don't think you said what he was doing there.
Oh, okay.
So if you just say what your husband was doing in Japan, and then maybe talk about coming when you first came here.
Like my husband was a sergeant in army. He was a medical surgeon in Zushi Ammunition Depot. And he had a nurse, an ambulance driver, and quite a few people working for him. And he'd been a medic until he's retired, so 22 years he's retired. And back in 1954, we married in 1953, November 17th. And in 54, I come to United States in San Francisco. And it took 12 days on the boat. Seasick. Boy, I was seasick. Well, anyway, I was 4 months pregnant then, so, you know, it's no wonder I'm sick. But anyway, and after from San Francisco, we went to, my husband was from Springfield, Illinois. It's Illinois capital. About 18 miles from Springfield, town of Springfield. And we stopped to Phyllis, his sister's place. And my sister had, sister-in-law had seven children. That was, and those days I couldn't understand English good enough to keep a conversation or anything. I could say goodbye, you know, to just a simple language, simple English. Anyway, I get along, it's pretty good. And the first thing, when my husband introduced a sister to me, her name is Wandering. And I had such a hard time saying Wandering, you know. Even now, this, I have a hard time to saying it. And one more thing, I thought to myself, how do I say Mrs. Wandering, or do I say Miss Wandering, or ma'am, or, you know, I didn't know exactly what to say. If it's in Japan, you have a certain, you know, nani-nani-san, nani-sama, or this kind of different respect, shown respect. But I didn't know exactly what to say, but we get along pretty good. And after that, we went to his mother's, and his father passed away before we got married. I think it's 2 years before we got married. So... And I went to mother's and stepfather. And we stayed there for a few years, and he's got a station in Fort Knox, Kentucky. So, stop a minute. So now, what was the next question?
No, you're all right now. Sorry, I have to go back and back into your history. So then you met the family. What did they think of you?
Well, you know...
What happened with your life then?
I lived in the United States for close to 50 years, 48 years. But I never experienced any discrimination. That, I could say it. Maybe one time when my husband wanted to join Moose Club... They got a, like a Lions Club, you know, Moose Club. And he put an audit and information and he put my name on Kazuko. And so he said, what's this name? Well, my wife is Japanese. No, they couldn't join that. That is one time I felt discriminated against me. And other than that, you know, I never had, I'm sure a lot of people did. Every different ways, but I never did. I am real lucky that way. And I heard a lot of people say a lot of things discriminate against Japanese war bride. I heard about it, but I never...
Do you have any idea why? Maybe where you lived or just...
I couldn't tell you. What discriminate against... I want to say second-class woman, that Japanese people And the Japanese 1世, 2世, the people living in the United, Japanese people living in the United States, they thought war bride is a second class people. That's where I think what the study is, in a newspaper reporter media, they said anybody couldn't even speak English and go to the United States and how they make a living. I mean, how they survive. Different custom, different language, and how they're going to survive. And nothing good to say about the media. Always said negative things. So more they say negative things, more get to just United States, Japanese immigrants thought that, you know, leading, they feel the same way, I suppose. And the one thing I had to say just though, it's Japanese immigrant lived in the back in the 40s and 50s. You know how they American treated them. They had a discriminate against them. They put in a concentration camp. But anyway, here they are, worked awful hard, and no makeup, and just tighten hair in the back, and wearing and work clothes, and that they made self good citizen in the United States. And here we are back in 50, start of the 57 to 58, 47 to 1950, 52 is most of people go. We had a permanent on here, and he had a lipstick on it, and high heel on it, you know. And we grab a husband's arm and walk around. Now how they see it, I know why they got mad, you know, mad or disappointed, I think. Because I feel right now, if I see a student, Japanese exchange student, walking around, he has a hole in the pants, they're dragging around the hair and messed up, I get awful disgusting. So they feel the same as what, you know, feel towards us. Now I feel the same thing what young people. So it's, I don't think it's nobody's fault. It's just a generation gap. Hmm. That's the way I feel.
Who you are.
Yeah, yeah, no matter who you are. Yeah. Yeah.
So what was the relationship between you? I mean, I know you said you didn't have any discrimination, but you and your in-laws and then setting up your own household. How was that here?
Well, because, you know, I married two soldiers. We didn't stay in one place. So we stayed in Manzai and also maybe months. And we moved to Kentucky, stayed 2 years, 18 months actually. And I went to Japan and come back. So, and every time I come back and take it vacation, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, to stay in Manzai-in-laws. And I've seen a sister-in-law, brother-in-laws. And after we settled down in Washington State, they come see us. But, you know, just 2 weeks or 10 days, it's about it. So I couldn't tell you. I'm sure they say something in behind my back, but I didn't hear them. And I don't care. Well, I would not say that. I don't care, but, you know, I am big enough. You know, I don't have to bother me, you know.
So, is there anything else you want to tell me about your own life from back then? Like, maybe did you know other women who were brides?
Oh, yes, I do. I do. Because I had, once upon a time, I had 500 members in my organizations. I hear a lot of stories, a sad one, really sad one.
Well, maybe before we get to the other people in the organization, like when, back when you were young, are there any other stories about when you were young and you're coming here, things that were difficult? Was it difficult to go back to Japan when you went to
business? Oh, no. My husband promised my mom I'd bring her back in 3 years. And so he had a station in Korea. So I went to Japan to stay with my mom and dad for a whole year. And I was, my Oldest daughter was 18 months old, and I was pregnant then, second one. And it's a funny, I think it's a real warm story about my daughter and my mom. He has two different country people, so my daughter speaks English and she isn't, right? My mom didn't. So, and I wasn't quite good enough to speak in English, so it's broken English, that's what I was. So
I'm sure you can hear it now.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to go away and it got louder.
No, I see. Okay, my daughter was 18 months, almost 2 years old. And when I talked to my daughter, my mother copied just like what I said and put on black paper, you know, note paper. And in 6 months, she could speak good enough to talk to my daughter. And at the same time, my daughter learned Japanese. So my mother speaking English to my daughter, and my daughter speaking Japanese to my, you know, grandma. That was a good one. And 1 year I stayed, I had a good good time. Good. I don't know when you want to say good time, but I fulfilled, I think what you say, you know, I did what I feel do for my dad and mom. So anyway, let me see what else.
Okay, yeah, if there are any other stories. Or, I mean, you can keep thinking about it at any point you want to tell a story. So, we'll talk about the society now. So, tell me, how many Japanese brides have immigrated to the U.S.? And then, just tell me.
It's according to actual numbers, I don't think nobody knows. But according to Tokyo University professor's study, there's 70,000. 65,000 to 70,000. That is between 1947 and 60. And you don't count after 60s, because where they studied right after World War II and Vietnam War, and Vietnam when the soldiers got hurt in Vietnam coming to Japan hospital, and some of them got married too, see. So that's where they felt. And some newspaper reporter used to say 100,000. So I don't think actual numbers, nobody knows. And in Australia, they got 650 Japanese war bride. And England, Canada have quite a few. And New Zealand and Switzerland, they had that too. I understand they had in France too, but I never could contact with Wolbright in France. Another country, I contact everybody, but I didn't, so.
Switzerland,
Yeah.
So tell me when and why the society was founded and introduced the society.
Okay, back in 1988. 87, actually, I read Japanese, Seattle Japanese newspaper, Hokube Hochi, a North American Post. And this Tokyo reporter saying, war bride land in Seattle back in 1948. First war bride land in Seattle. So after I read that, and I said, 48, and then this is 88, it's 40 years. We should do something. So what I did, and I did it there. Let me see. Okay, the 40th anniversary of Japanese wife's entry into U.S., that title was. And that I started writing letter to everybody I know, and all the Japanese newspaper in all the United States. And one thing about war bride, because of married soldiers, they moved so many different state. So every time they moved, see, if I moved to Kentucky and I found some Japanese girl to become a friend. And every one of them have two, three good friends. So if I write a letter to one lady, that lady have two, three another lady to friend. So that's where they actually connected. So when I had a convention in 1980, October 30th, they had 320 people showed up. And Olympia, Washington State and Olympia, West Water in those days, West Water, now it's a Red Lion. But anyway, and that reporter, they have from Tokyo, famous old Asahi newspaper, Yomiuri paper, and they got about 15 reporter come to interview us. And one reporter from Los Angeles told me, said, I interview quite a few people, and the question was, after you come to the United States, when is the most happiest time? And I think two of them said, this is it. So he said, you know, anyway, he said, just that made was, you know, doing that. I think so too. And I had quite a few speeches, and the mayor in Seattle, and council general in Seattle, and the mayor in Olympia, and I had the professors, and another women's club president, all made a speech, and a lady named Mitch. Oh my goodness, I can't remember that. Now, let me see. Nagao Michi, okay. Miss Michi Nagao. She published New York, Japan, New York, in New York. And she was the main speaker, and a wonderful lady. Anyway, I think that 88 convention made this old war bride realized we're doing okay. I hope, heard everybody was proud of it. And before that, because Japanese media talked about, you know, that girl's not going to make it and all of that, they feel, wasn't strong enough to be yourself. And so after then, I think they realized we're doing okay. And 1989, because I had over 300 address from all over the United States, I made a we talked about it and make why don't we have an organization, Women's Club. And that's for the Nikkei International Marriage Society, born in 89. And I was president and publisher, newsletter publisher, and Kinko Kirk was vice president, and Yuki Matre is a helper. Anyway, Kinko-san, she passed away just before Los Angeles Convention. It's 99, 69 years old. So, yeah. Anyway, now, and so Mrs. Tsuchino Forrest is the vice president right now. And we had a five worldwide convention in the past 10 years. The last one we had in Hawaii. And first one we had in Hawaii, and that just the last one, number five, we had the same place, same hotel, same room at the convention. We had 170 people. From Australia, about 10, United States in 30, I think about, I think 30 state I come from. So that was, I think, I hope it's the last worldwide convention, but we will continue to have a mini convention locally. And if anybody from Hawaii, I mean the Florida or Colorado, if they want to come, it's fine. But a mini convention. But worldwide, it's a little too much job for me anymore. So anyway,
so who, I know you said, well, I'm exhausting you. I know you said already who at one point, but could you just say how many members the organization has and where they're from and what, you know, what countries they're from and what their cultural, you know, background is, just sort of like in a paragraph?
Well, Nikkei International Marriage Society, once upon a time, back in 1998-99, we had 500 members from seven different countries, in the United States, in Canada, England, Australia, the New Zealand, and the Switzerland, and the Japan. And most member is a so-called war bride, a person, ladies married after war and World War II, and before around the 1960s. So average age is right now almost 80 years old, 75 to 80 years old. So. And background, people when they met husband is most of working for PX or in across the army camp or, you know, Air Force camp, the people working. That it's where they met husbands. And that, well, I don't know that, I don't know exactly, you know, how they managed in the United States. But a few I know, one lady took 9 years, but graduated college and took a master after raising five kids. And another lady, she went to college, 7 years old, she graduated. And a lot of Japanese cultures, like tea ceremony, flower arrangement, and musical instrument, koto, and all of that, when they learn when in young, they come in this country to teach another children, you know, own children or neighbors, and even Japanese dance, the traditional dance, they got a lot of good teachers in. And what I know around here, and even in Portland, they got a beautiful dance teachers. And they did a lot of things, volunteer work, because after, you know, kids is grown up, what they do, volunteers, especially Mrs. Tsuchino-san, they volunteer old folks home. They got a Seattle, Kero home, and Japanese people living in home. They're going to volunteer all the time. That's not, I think it's nice things that they're doing, yeah.
So how many are, ooh, go for another
that's
tissue there. Actually, here, give me a second. Well, it's on the same kind of subject. She wanted to have something specific about that there's Japanese and Okinawans who are in it. Do you know how many?
I don't know how many, but my women's club members, quite a few Okinawa. Okinawa girls married and young, real young, around about 50, 55, some of them is 40 years old, because, you know, in Okinawa, they still have army camp and the Air Force. So they're still married and coming to the United States. So they won't. They're not war bride. According to professors in Tokyo, they're not war bride. People married before 1960s, that you call it war bride. So
So what kind of, I know, well, you told me about the convention and your newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Are those the main things that you're...
Yeah.
That you do?
Yeah.
Those two? Okay.
And I organize all the conventions. Yeah.
So what... Why is your organization important?
Well, because past almost 50 years, nobody knew we existed, even the United States, in Japan. Well, family, yes, but, you know, actually, whole Japanese country, they didn't know exactly we living in the United States. If it's 50,000 living in the United States, that's an awful large group, immigrant. So I said, you have to have legacy to leave to our young people. That's what we started. I said, don't let them, Japanese people, think we are second-class citizens. We got to stand up to you. But now, because of this convention, because of this newsletters, my newsletter going to Japanese government diet library, and they keep there. And the impresses read my, Impress Michiko, read my newsletter. And I met Impress 3 times already. And I think we could stop right now. Still, we did leave legacy. I am satisfied with it. So what happened, people said, what happened now? That we're going to be stopped right there after, you know, I quit and be nobody going to take it over. Yeah, young people could take it over, but they think different than we are. Because it says 30 years different between two generations. So when young people married in and come to the United States, they knew English already before they married. And come to this country, already got the Japanese food. We didn't have none. I didn't eat Japanese food for 2 years in Kentucky. Now you're talking about tough. Yeah, because you've grown up in, you know, rice and pickles and all of that, and you didn't have soy sauce and miso. They didn't have that. And that was the toughest 2 years. So people, I don't think they could continue to just international marriage society. They might be different kind of women's club. Somebody could take it over. We got an address now, so, you know, somebody could take it over. But I've been looking for the last 4 years, but I couldn't find it yet.
So are there other organizations that are like this with other Asian brides?
Oh, yeah. They got a, Seattle have one. I got over here.
Well, I can't record it. Yeah. No, but have you done outreach? Have you done work with other Asian bride groups?
Yeah.
So what have you done?
Every time I have a convention, there's another war bride club. They back me all the way. So you got Seattle have Sarangi Kai, and Brampton have a Peninsula. Japanese Women's Club. Oak Harbor have Shakunagi Japanese Women's Club. Tacoma have Tampopo's Women's Club. And Portland got TWS. Excuse me. Let me see it. Trans-Pacific Women's Society. I think Portland TWS is the most oldest, almost 40-some years club. And Seattle, you vice president, she was president for 10 years, so she could tell you. And that Colorado have Kisarangi Kai, not Kisarangi Kai, Shirakaba no Kai, and California have Kai, and they have Massachusetts and Florida. they have all the smaller one. And some of them just maybe get together, talk, or some of them just get together, go to a restaurant. That's about it, but still it's there. And so they could talk each other.
What about with younger Asian brides or like from like the Vietnam War era or Korean War era? Do you ever do anything with other
groups? No, not so far, yeah. Japanese war bride, you know, Japanese in the United States, Japanese in another five countries, six countries. That's also, I didn't went all the way to another country people yet, so.
So, do you think that current public perceptions on Asian brides, Japanese brides, are different from the ones in the 50s and 60s? And if they've changed, why have they changed?
Well, just like I said, they had they knew English already, young international married. They knew English already. They knew what kind of United States, they know also what kind of culture United States is. They knew all about it before they get married. They got married, so that much easier. Much, much easier. And more spoiled too, I think.
And what about, because you were talking about the media and how the media portrayed Japanese brides as evil. Has the media or has the public perception changed?
Nothing. They don't have, like I said, just married to next door boy. That's what they think so nowadays. You don't separate from United States to America. It's just like neighbors, you know. So I just gonna marry neighbors. That's the way they look. So parents don't think. But when we got married in the 50s, and we thought we never gonna come home to Japan. We couldn't, because the first place we don't have enough money to do it, and most of the time it's a boat, no ship. I mean, no airplane. If you want to buy air tickets,
sorry. If you could, you say that again. If you want to buy air tickets,
If you want to fly from Tokyo to United States, and the tickets price was equivalent to was university professor's 3 months salary. So you know we couldn't afford it. And most of people couldn't afford it. And so we just said, okay, we're not going to be able to come home anymore. So that's sad, really. But now, you know, 70s, 80s, and everybody go home twice a year.
So tell me about, we're on the book part now. Tell me about your book. And what is it?
And at four years ago, let me see, Kyoritsu Women's College professor, Dr. Weki, he's a good friend of mine. He suggested, why don't you club member ask to write something for maybe we could put it together in a book? Say, okay. So I picked people I think the good writer. I picked 10 ladies and one husband, and Colonel Silver. And a wonderful book. So, and we got Australia, and it's two ladies from Australia, and another than the United States. Anyway, 2 years ago, and Kaet University, Women's University professor, Dr. Yasutomi, he asked me, he said, why don't we write a little, book, you and I? So he's going to research all about how government, you know, connect with government, and what Nikkei community thought about war bride and all of that. I said, okay, what I do? He said, well, you write what you experience from childhood to all the way to marry in the club until now. I said, okay, so it took 2 years. We finally got it. I got it yesterday. That's wonderful, wonderful book. Only thing, it's in a Japanese, so couldn't, you know, American people couldn't read it. But I'm going to translate in English next 2 years, I imagine.
What's it called?
It's a Senso Hanayome, a pioneer kiroku. It's like Mr. Forrest wrote that movie. Tsuchino, my Japanese wife. It's all the history, look from a husband's point. Now, mine is from a war bride point, put a whole thing there. So it'd be really interesting.
So when is it being published, or is it published? It's published already, and
professor sent me 50 books, so I should get another 10 days, so. So far, we got already sold out, you know, and professor going to send more. Takes a good 4 weeks to send it, and because it's ship. Yeah, I mean, it's too cost too much.
Great. So, is there anything else you want to say about the book, about what you're trying to do with it, maybe? Hope will read it? Who will read
this book? Well, most this book, because the Japanese, Nikkei community people could read the Japanese, they will. And in Japan, they're doing real good right now. In the library, you know, all of that, you know, Japanese people, you're interested in right now. But if I do in English, and I know a lot of people, especially like my children and their children, grandkids, I got to look at the so many, said maybe 200,000 young Japanese bride living in this country, and they could read English. So probably I could send that, I hope.
Be great, tell your story.
Yeah.
So tell me about now that you've been here, since you moved to Washington, so what was your life like? What have you done with your life? What's it like now?
Okay, and I have 3 girls. That my oldest one is 50 years old, and she's semi-retired. She draws pictures. She's a good artist. And the second one is a typical American girl. She drive a truck. She could even drive a semi truck. She's got a license to real estate. She's a carpenter. She could build a house. And she got a little hamburger stand in the summertime. That kid got energy, and nobody could copy him. Boy, she's gone all the time. Anyway, my youngest one working in the post office for the last 20 years. And I have the step grandkids too, and I have 13 grandkids and 5 great grandkids. So I got 4 generations. I think it's wonderful. And everybody living in Yam community somewhere around there, so if we were to record everybody coming in 10 minutes, you know. The only grandson living in Boston, he just graduated from medical school, and he become a doctor pretty soon. Yeah, he's working in hospital right now. So other than that, my husband likes to fish, my husband likes to hunting, and he's outdoor guy. And me, busy with the club, and I sew, I knit, I just about everything. We don't go too far, you know, vacation and going to Europe, and we don't do that. But we're comfortable, living comfortable. Yeah. I had a good life. I have to say, I had a good life.
So, one of the last question here is, when you mentioned someone else had asked one of your ladies, what was the happiest moment of your life?
Oh, and actually, happiest moment when I had '88 the convention, the newspaper reporter asked just all the people, and 2 ladies said, "This convention is the most happiest time in their life." That's what they said. It so they must feel it. Comparable, just like, you know, class reunion. that surrounding, that's where they feel, to cross the Union. Even though total stranger, but you could laugh and tell about what you experienced, and because they got same experience, you see.
So what was yours? What was your happiest moment?
I guess it's just a book. I don't know. I'm happy all the time. So put that way. Yeah, you know, any marriage of 50 years, you have up and down. You can't say it, you know, it's all the way to smooth, but we had it pretty good. We had it pretty good. I had to say, we had it pretty good. My husband has been good to me. I've been good to me. You know, one thing I have to say about that, this old, I could say almost 90% of the world varieties, strong, really strong ladies. And one husband said to the wife, you know, I thought I married Japanese cute little kittens. But after you come to the United States and you turn out to be a tiger. That's what he said to her. But he's, you know, he's happy though. He's not mad, said it. He just, that's the way she becomes strong. But you have to. Because here we are, only thing we know is husband, nobody else. So you had to be, no parents, no nothing. Mm-mm. So I think maybe you could change it to Tsuchiro-san. She's a good talker, I don't, so. I think it's everything I said.
That's everything you said.
Yeah, I said too much, I think.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. So I hope you said everything you want to about your book.
Yeah, yeah.
Program, so.